everybody, and welcome to the Ramble Room. This is Sarah. I'm joined by Diane and Ken and Joe.
Hi.
We're back.
Yes.
We've missed you all.
We had a very long and very wonderful and much needed vacation.
It was.
And I shaved.
Did anybody miss
Where?
Us? On that one arm.
Yes.
All right. So today, we're going to talk about being kind. Because
as long as all we have to do is talk about it.
Yeah, we don't actually have to practice what we preach, do we?
To each other. We're going to talk about what it means, though. And this conversation was sparked by me driving through my neighborhood. There's some construction going on, so I had to take a different route. And one of my neighbors has one of those signs that you guys have probably seen. It's one of the big lists. Normally I love lists, but not this one. It says, Black Lives Matter. Women's rights are human rights. No human is illegal. Science is real. Love is love. And kindness is everything. And I saw that word kindness, and it really, really bothered me that those people are taking one of my favorite words. Kindness is one of the words that we use in our house because we never use the word nice. And Diane's going to share some... What is the word?
Etymology?
Word history? Yeah. Yes, etymology. About the word nice and why our family doesn't use that.
I thought it was a study of bugs.
Close.
What is the study of bugs?
Entomology.
Oh, gross.
The study of ents.
Yes.
It's a very slow process.
Which we thought were trees, because that's what they are in The Lord of the Rings, right?
Right. That's why I said it's a very slow process.
No, yes.
Slow. So Diane's going to share with us some word knowledge. She's going to hit you with some knowledge.
Yo, break
so
it down.
So we understand what the words are, and then we're going to discuss what makes me, for one, I, for one, and probably everyone in this room, very irritated about that word being hijacked for something else.
Kindness, though. Kindness. Not nice.
Yes. Okay.
Well, when I was growing up, someone who wasn't particularly nice, whenever we were doing something that particularly irritated him, would say, be nice.
Did he say it like that?
Pretty much, yeah.
He said he, right?
Yeah.
He said it to me about every 10 minutes. And I kept trying to explain to him, I am being nice.
This is my very best.
This is the groomed version of me that you're seeing. And yet still, I was not nice enough for him.
So that phrase kind of gives me the chills anyway. And then later, I don't know when I looked this up, but... We all know what we think nice means, and one of the things that we should probably establish is that most words have two meanings. One's the denotation, which means the dictionary meaning. If you look it up, this is what it says. And every word, almost every word, has a connotation, which is the sense that you get when you hear it. So I could say, you're very fastidious, and that might be positive, depending on how you feel about fastidiousness. But if I said, you're persnickety, you probably wouldn't think that I was complimenting you.
That first word made me think of pimply and hairy.
Okay, that's
fast
not the word.
And hideous. Yeah,
that's not the fault of the word.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or the connotation.
We could make a whole series of movies about that.
It's my niceness that's the
Truly
problem.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect. Mom!
Where was I?
Fastidious.
Okay. All right. So
persnickety.
We know what nice means when most of the time we think we know what people mean by that. But here's the word history. Since its adoption in the 13th century, the word nice has developed from a term of abuse. Did you know that? To a term of praise, a process called melioration. Melioration is the linguistic process by which a word grows gradually more elevated in meaning and more positive in connotation. So nice has been elevated from a term of abuse to a term of praise. Nice is derived from the Latin nescius, which means ignorant, and was used in Middle English to mean foolish, without sense. By the 15th century, nice had acquired the sense elegant in conduct and dress, but not in a complimentary sense. Nice meant over-refined, overly delicate, or persnickety.
Oh.
Yes.
Now they named a city after it.
This sense survives in the meanings fastidious, oh, hey, and precise, subtle. To the extent that delicacy, refinement, and precision have favorable connotation, Nice developed a corresponding sense.
Do you hear that voice? That's why we have you do this part. Because it's fabulous.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so that's why we, as a family, have not typically used the word nice if we can help it. So we what do we mean when we want someone to be nice? What we really mean is we want them to be kind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought it meant knock it off.
Well, there is that.
Oh.
So again, we think we know what kindness means, but actually that word has also gone through amelioration, meaning being elevated to a more or a more better meaning.
It's more better.
Yes, it is now.
Ooh.
Or you know, people think it is. Because it used to mean well born. Like when you read in old books where it says that you are a kind lady. It means well born lady, not nice lady.
These flowers are for you, kind lady.
Right.
Yeah.
Well born lady.
Right.
Okay. Then it came to mean because kind ladies, well born ladies were generous and gentle and that kind of thing, then it came to mean what we think it means.
I do not think it means what you think it means.
Not anymore. Isn't this confusing? Okay. So
isn't this fun?
We should either buy smaller dictionaries or newer dictionaries.
No.
Because that thing you've got on your desk is going to your head.
I think that was the plan, was for it to go.
I think it's all in her head by now.
And the barbs of your words have gone straight to my heart.
Aww.
Thank you, not thank you for not telling me to be nice.
This is going to be a soap opera before too long.
Where's the evil twin?
So, what Sarah was referring to is the definition of kindness in the Bible, because when we're instructed to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, it doesn't mean be nice. You're not supposed to be foolishly nice to people. You're not supposed to be persnickety because that wouldn't foster getting
along. You're supposed to be well-born?
Well, we're all supposed to feel like we're the same born, right?
Oh, born.
Bairn. Like a wee bairn.
Anyway.
Okay. So, a couple of places where that's pretty well known is like in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says love is patient and love is kind. Doesn't mean that we have to go around being disgustingly nice to each other, because there are times when being nice is not the right thing. But kindness has to do with being
meek.
Useful. Oh, useful.
I figured it had something to do with being meek. Like, I could kick your butt, but I've chosen not to.
It is when it's listed with the other fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of that stuff. They're all tied together. So it does kind of imply that if you are being kind, you are also using the other fruits. Hmm. But if you actually look at the Greek word that word for kindness came from, it means to be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like a light bulb for me. Because it doesn't mean
so love,
be nice.
Love is useful?
Yes.
Hmm. It useful, profitable, or fitting. And so one thing that struck me about that is that in order to deem something fitting, there has to be a standard. And this is one of the problems with appropriating the language, to just say, well, it means whatever I think it means. If we have no standards, then like we talked about with Newspeak, is that you can just kind of mean anything you want to, and pretty soon everybody's just wah, 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 and we're going, uh-huh, uh-huh, gotcha. And we don't know, nobody knows what anyone else is talking about. So that's kind of where the useful part comes in, is that it's fitting for the time. It's appropriate.
Well, when I thought about what does it mean to be kind to someone in terms of being useful? The term random acts of kindness popped into my head. Random acts of kindness are things that are useful to people at a particular time. If you have ever been a gigantically pregnant woman walking through the parking lot of Walmart with two carts, one in front of you and one behind you, and someone runs up and says, here, let me help you load your trunk. That's a random act of kindness. It was useful to me because I'm fat and tired and don't want to do this by myself. So it seems to me that it did used to imply being useful, even just in previous generations. Part of my problem with the hijacking of that word is that now it almost feels like they're using that word to mean not just treat people well, but to celebrate people of all sorts of differences, because it's being clumped with the Black Lives Matter and the illegal immigration and all this other stuff. And so they're saying kindness is everything. Even if you don't understand why these people did what they did, even if you don't like it, you still have to be kind to them and accept it, and then give them holidays to celebrate what they did because they're brave.
We have a dog in the family that loves to beg.
Are you looking
at a real canine?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not any one individual. This dog loves to come up and beg, which that just happens to be one of my pet peeves. I cannot stand a dog that will not leave you alone while you're eating your dinner. And a lot of people think you're being kind to that dog by flipping it a potato chip or a scrap of meat or something like that. That is not kindness. That is not useful. The same thing is applying, I think, is to what you're getting to. If someone is caught up in something that is unseemly, it is not kind to them to simply tolerate it and then say it's okay. And it's especially not kind to turn around and celebrate that and to encourage such behavior. That's not real kindness,
but that's
in
where
the biblical sense.
Yeah, that's where the standard comes in. Because
exactly.
they want to be able to say, be kind, as in treat me the way I demand,
right.
Which itself is not kind.
And
I am
your
demanding
standard,
you be kind to me.
Your standard is not what's important. My standard, my pronouns, those are the things that matter to me. So but then becomes most important is me, not a principle or not truth.
Right, but then I get to force you to treat me however I want you to.
Which is unkind.
No matter how that makes me feel.
Right. But white Judeo-Christian traditions have dominated for long enough, and so now it's their turn.
Right.
So if you use that argument of, wait a second, now you're forcing your opinions on me. Now you're forcing your
right,
I can't even use the word morals, but
standards?
Your ideals on me. Well, yeah, but you people have had long enough. And
what do you mean?
Rather than...
What do you mean, you people?
Rather than just say, okay, nobody gets to have their way. The answer would be, you've had your way for so long, now it's time for us to have our way and for you guys to pay. Because that's the only way to even the scales.
Right. But most of the people that are now saying, show us kindness or whatever they're implying with that statement.
Demanding.
Have never been oppressed by anybody. It's a strange turn of events lately that people are asking for all this stuff. And it's like, okay, you already have what everybody else has. Why do you want more?
And more than
and that's
anyone
kindness
else in history
to them.
Has ever had.
That's kindness to them. That's, you give me all that I want and could ever desire, and you stay down there.
Right, to pay me back for something that's never actually happened to me.
Right, right.
I keep coming back to the verse that says, speak the truth in love. I can be kind to somebody who lives and believes differently than I do. I can be useful to that person. I can help feed them. I can go to their door and say, by the way, your lights are on and I don't want your battery to die. Those are useful, kind things. But that doesn't mean that I have to agree with you, and that doesn't mean that I'm not going to speak the truth in love. And if you don't think it's true, that's fine. What do you always say, Ken? You can be wrong if you want to.
I don't always
agree
say
with
that.
Me. You can be wrong if you want to. But I'm not going to stop speaking the truth, not my truth, the truth, in order to be kind to you. I can be useful to you. I don't have to celebrate your brain damage.
I guess the quintessential humorous vision of that is, do this dress make my butt look big? If it indeed does, you would not be kind to someone by saying, oh, you look just great, dear. And wait, then she goes on out looking like a total butt to everybody, and you didn't warn her and say, don't wear that outside. Yeah. That's kindness.
I think the kind thing to do is to speak the truth in love. Yes. Honey, I love you and your butt, but that dress is not doing either one of us any favors.
When
case closed.
Yeah. It's like whenever you stop me from running out of the house in my Speedo.
Right.
When a former, that was kindness just, to the whole world.
If you
world.
Could just walk out of the house in your Speedo, yeah. that would be one thing. But if you're at a full sprint, that's just awkward.
There's, you're going to shave.
It's drawing unwanted.
There's another example. At one point, a former mother-in-law of mine insisted that Diane have her hair cut a particular way, and I came home and I saw the way the hair was cut and didn't say a word. Well, this person kept pushing me and saying, didn't you notice your wife got a haircut? Yes, I did. Aren't you going to tell her it looks nice? No, I'm not. And you'd have thought I was the most evil bastard. But I am not going to speak what I do not believe is true. So I simply chose to remain quiet. Had I chose to remain quiet, it would have blown over. It had grown back out. Something else would have happened. But as it was, she had to make an issue of it, trying to get me to be kind or nice.
More like nice, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, what she wanted me to do is lie to you.
And
is,
one of the things
is forced kindness kindness at all?
But no. If I'd have told you, oh, well, that looks nice, I really like that, you might have kept wearing it like that, and I hated it.
And then 20 years from now, you'd be like, I have to tell you
You'd
something.
Be behind her with a lighter.
Yeah.
Making my hair go woof.
A little kerosene.
Well, one of the things that I've always appreciated about him is that I know that he's not going to tell me something that isn't true, and he will tell me sometimes things I don't want to hear because I need to know them. I appreciate that because I'm never guessing, and I never have to go, oh, I wonder if he just said that to be nice. Right.
But I can find useful really ways to say it. Like if you bring something that I just really cannot stand for dinner, I'll say, thank you for doing that, but you really don't need to make that again.
But and what I find funny about the situation, about that sign in particular, is that, like we were saying, somebody forced you to make a comment about Diane's hair, and you didn't say, yes, it's lovely, please keep doing that. You said, I don't particularly like it. But the left would rather have you say, I love what you're doing.
And everybody should do that.
Yeah, in a fake way.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that everybody is ever going to agree with your premise. But if you demonize those people that don't agree with you enough, then they might start coming around to saying, yeah, that's fabulous. And it's not real, so it's not kindness.
So, yeah, right.
It's actually not doing somebody a favor.
No, why do you want to live in a world where everyone's lying to each other?
Right.
That'd be like a sitcom.
The ones where the whole plot is based on a misunderstanding. Don't you hate
those? If I had to listen to a laugh track all day, every day, I would
I want theme check music. Out. I need theme music all the time.
And pyrotechnics. That would be nice.
I want, what is it? Ba-da-da, ba-da-da. It's a game show thing, and it's always stuck
sounded
in
like
head.
Rocky.
Yeah.
No, it could be.
It was,
ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Is it The Price is Right?
It might have been The Price is Right. And that's how I'd roll down the road. Every time I stopped, the music would stop. Every time I'd go, the music would start going again. Anyways.
And then could you buy everything for whatever price you guessed?
Yes.
Nice. I like that too.
I'm guessing that's 3 cents. Boom. Anyways, kindness.
I would say one more thing about that, and then you can talk about whatever you want to. But one of the things that came to mind when I was trying to look up verses about that is in Romans 11:22, where Paul says, note the kindness and severity of God. And this is where we're talking about being turned into pillars of salt. Because God is kind. But I was thinking, God's useful? God's profitable? The dictionary that I was looking in said it means that this word means to, I'm sorry, talking about kindness. It is the grace which pervades the whole nature, mellowing all which would be harsh and austere, as wine mellows with age. So Ooh. The kindness of God is his nature is pervaded with grace, which means that he doesn't do to us the things that we really deserve if we were honest. But then what it says about severity is that that word means to cut off, like a man cutting off dead and useless branches from a fruit tree. Now, a man doesn't cut off branches from a fruit tree in order to kill it, even in order to hurt it.
To make it more healthy, to make it grow better.
Right, and to make it more fruitful, which is what he wants from us is fruitfulness. So those two things, he's graceful, as in full of grace, to us. That's the kindness. The severity is that it cuts off our dead branches when they need to be cut off so that we can produce more. So note the grace and the husbandry. Yes. Okay. So the grace and the husbandry of God.
So on the subject of the sign that Sarah was talking about, I find it kind of funny that they put science is real.
Yes.
As if nobody believes in gravity, except for that person. But what science is she referring to? The science that they make up, or the science that is actually provable?
Whatever you want.
Is it evolution? Is that the science we're talking about? Because I don't believe in evolution. Are we talking about men being women instead of men and the confusion of that? And because I don't believe in that.
Or that masks work.
Right. Which is silly because now it's back to masks don't work, I think.
No, no, they're telling you got to put them back on now.
Oh, wait.
This week.
I get
this
so
week we got a mask up. Whether you've been vaccinated or not.
Yeah.
You got to put that mask back on. Yeah.
I think everybody should just wear their dirty underwear on their face. Then that 6-foot
rule
is
set the example.
Really easy at
their
that point.
Their own dirty underwear?
Oh, and who cares at this point? Follow the science.
The real science.
Yes.
And one more comment about the sign is that people didn't used to communicate their standards by signs. Everybody has a different sign in their yard so that you know who they are. You know how they did it? By example. They lived what they believed, and they didn't try to force other people to do it by going around calling them names, pushing them around, or sticking bumper stickers on their foreheads or whatever.
Taking away someone else's First Amendment right.
Right.
Unless you happen to agree with a particular direction of thinking, you don't have a right to express your opinion.
Right.
I do think there is a lot of bitterness between, well, to me it feels like Christians and everybody else, but you could look at it politically and say the left and the right or right. Whatever. There's bitterness everywhere. Everybody's pretty ticked at this point. And that heightens everybody's feelings. How should I put that? Everybody's a little amped up. And so we're not being particularly kind to one another. And I said earlier, I keep coming back to the scripture verse that says, speak the truth in love. I'm going to speak the truth, but I'm going to do it with love. But when you were talking about saying, you don't have to make that again for dinner.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And I love the idea of it being seasoned with salt, like you catch more bees with honey. We it's can say what we need to say.
I just grab a handful of salt and throw it in there.
And rub it in the wound.
Yep. Because it purifies.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help.
It's useful. Roman soldiers used
Keep
to be paid
the demons
in salt.
Away. No, other than those visuals, I like the idea of it being seasoned with salt because we still need to say what we need to say. We still need to speak the truth. But we need to remember that people do have feelings,
right.
And especially people with mental defects like
agreeing
with science need to be handled gently.
I take that to mean seasoned with salt, meaning you put on as much salt as necessary. If I can't swallow it anymore. If the situation calls for more salt, you put a little more salt on it.
But
if
that's it, also if it profitable takes, because right. that's if when you get just the right amount, right. it's perfect.
If you get too much, it'll be preserved forever.
Mm. There's also the idea of sometimes the right thing to say is nothing. And yep. we could yes. do that.
Yep. I tried.
What is the
somebody
what's the verse?
Drug it out.
What's the verse with the list of here's how you should know whether you should say it or not?
Oh, is it kind? Is it useful?
Whatsoever things are.
Where is that?
Oh, in the verse. Okay, not the meme.
Whatsoever things are kind, lovely.
Think on these things. Try looking yeah. up. Think on these but things.
That, it's not the think on that these sign oh. is not necessarily bad.
Because now we know where the enemy is. Well,
it is because it co-opts the meaning of all the words.
Right, right. It is therefore in that it's way. Bad. It is in that way. But if it was meant in a way that, like, okay, Black Lives Matter. Well, they do. We can all agree that Black Lives Matter. So do white lives. So do Asian.
All lives matter.
All lives matter, which is not allowed to be said, and we'll probably be kicked off of something for saying that. But nothing on there is particularly heinous.
No.
It's the way that they are saying it and the way that they mean it. Black lives matter, so screw you, white person.
Right.
It's not because white lives don't matter, according to Black Lives Matter.
Because we had our time.
Right. It's a confusing sign with all these lovely words.
I don't think Black Lives Matter has anything to do with race.
I don't either.
I think it actually comes down to the socialist ideal, this Marxist idea.
Right, ramping up hatred for yeah. one, for the other side.
But see, here's the problem. This goes back to the differentiation that Diane was making earlier. Here's the denotation. Here's, if right. you look up kindness in the dictionary, here's what it means. Here's the connotation. Now, when I see kindness is everything, I hate this term because the right. left use it against us all the time, but it's a dog whistle. Can you hear that? It's a dog whistle. Okay, if it was a dog whistle, nobody could hear it. But the point is, it's now become their term.
Right.
So like you guys are talking about Black Lives Matter. Of course Black Lives Matter. Everybody in this room would acknowledge that, and so would most of the population. Right. But now it means something different.
Well, so that's what the left has been doing since forever.
So we've just been talking about kindness, and it occurs to me that if you look at all of the fruit of the Spirit, every one of those words has been co-opted and twisted. Love, for example, you say love to the average person out there. What does love indicate?
It's just a secondhand emotion.
It's all you need.
Yeah, but what's love got to do with it?
Love is a warm puppy.
It's never having to say you're sorry.
What? It's actually
you know what
being
love
able
was
to say you're
to
sorry.
The Beatles?
All you need.
The word love in all of the Beatles songs was a code word for...
I knew it had something to do with sex.
Well, and that's the main thing is that it does. We didn't talk about what love really is.
Oh, love, yeah.
Love is patient. Love is kind.
Love is a actual decision.
Yes.
Love is not something that comes to you and then, oh, you're filled with it. Love is whenever your wife cheats on you and you go, I'm going to have to put this away, forgive, and choose to carry on and show her the kindness and grace.
Laying down your life for a friend.
Love is, I've always taught my kids, to do justice, to do the right thing. It's similar to what we were talking about when we were talking about kindness. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to blow smoke up your fanny and tell you that I really love your beard.
It is quite the nice beard, though.
Yeah.
If love was all you needed, the way that the world defines it, like the Cupid's arrow kind of love, then we wouldn't have the divorce rate that we do.
Nope. Joy.
It's Christmas time and I'm getting presents and that gives me joy. That's what I think.
Right. And joy to the world
yes.
is you have to be outrageously happy.
And spend lots of money.
I do not know what that word means and never have.
I think in contrast to the idea that we're just walking about blissfully, ignorantly happy, is that we can be happy despite all of those things. We can have joy. It is, to me, a right perspective of the truth.
Rejoice in your sufferings.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is understanding things from God's perspective. And when you understand things from God's perspective, all the things that are dragging on us right now become irrelevant. So we can have joy in whatever is happening.
Or acknowledging the fact that you can't understand things from God's perspective, but he's still taking care of it. Yeah. And so you can have joy in the fact that he's taking care of it.
All of these words kind of link together. Like that, exactly. That links together with faith.
That's right. Why we say there's one fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, and a lot of people would want to make that plural and say the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, they're all the same thing. These are just different perspectives of looking at the same thing. The word peace, everybody thinks peace is the idea that we don't have any war. Hey, peace, bro.
Imagine all
chill out.
The people
token up today.
The same joint.
Yeah.
Oh. Mano.
But peace, the peace that Scripture talked about, is peace with God. It's that lack of an enmity with God.
I haven't always been there.
But that word is being hijacked even in the Christian church, where people justify doing really dumb things and saying, well, I had a peace about it.
Well, and that's what peace means. I'm at peace with myself.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to pay any attention to how dumb the thing was or what the consequences might be. Like, God take care of that. I'm not going to look. That's not really
peace. I know
peace.
What Scripture says about it, but I felt a peace about...
That's willful ignorance.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not peace.
No. Not in the definition at all.
Which I don't know exactly what peace is.
Patience or long suffering.
I'm learning that word.
What has amazed me about this particular concept is it's only good depending, or it's only enforced depending on what side of any issue you happen to be on. If I am a conservative Bible-believing Christian and I see a gay pride parade, I am supposed to be patient and loving and peaceful and just allow that to go on. I'm supposed to gladly support them with my tax dollars and not squelch about it. But if I say, I don't think this is right, I object to this, I'm offended by this.
You're a fascist.
They, on the other hand, have no responsibility to have any patience or long-sufferingness with me.
But again, that's the argument that they use against that, is that they've been patient with us long enough. Which is part of the definition of patience. And when my kids were tiny, there are really only two rules in my house. And one is be kind and one is be patient. And the little doodle that I put up on the wall next to it was a guy just patiently sitting on a chair with his hands folded. And I would talk to the kids and say, look, is he squirming? Is he grimacing? Is he upset about it? No, he's patiently waiting. He's okay
plotting
with
one
it
day.
Not happening yet.
One day he's gonna go to sleep, and when he goes to sleep
it's like I tell all the time, you can run, I know where you live.
the pieces of the word mean long anger, and when it applies to God, it means that he's waiting a long, 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 long time and holding back his anger. It doesn't mean there isn't any. It means he's giving us time.
Right.
He's not showing his anger now. If he can do that, you know, what right do we have to not be able to hold our anger?
I thought patience was giving somebody enough rope to hang themselves.
Well,
that
okay.
Can be part of it. That's what God does us sometimes.
But I think we get to the shallow part of that right now, is that we think that if we don't swear at somebody who cuts us off in traffic that we were exercising such patience today, they wouldn't believe what I
you
had to go through.
You mean that doesn't count?
Well, I didn't say it didn't count. No. I'm just
how about if you're trying to order
that.
A sandwich over the internet?
Over the Jimmy John's website.
Oh, I thought we weren't name dropping.
Absolutely not qualifying.
We just talked quite a bit about kindness. Closely related to that is, this is a good one, goodness.
This one bugs me.
Who's good?
Because
it ain't me.
When you, if you have a baby,
you ain't no fortunate son.
If you have a baby, as people will tell you, oh, is he a good baby? Good just means not a pain in the butt. So,
well, nowadays,
my firstborn was colicky. Actually, all of my kids were colicky, but my firstborn was a very, very tricky baby. And if people said, is he a good baby? No, not by your standards, because he cries all the time. He's not a good sleeper. He has blowouts constantly, and he's just generally a pain in the butt. But I adore him because he's brilliant and adorable.
He's got 10 fingers, 10 toes.
Right.
And all of them have toenails.
But when people say good.
Well, his fingers didn't have toenails. That'd be awkward.
That's a good baby. When people say good, that's really what they mean, is like to say to a little kid, be good. It means I don't want to hear you.
Yeah.
Right. You're not bothering.
Don't bother
me. But is your heart good? Or are you just not bothering?
Yeah, who gets to decide what good is? What is the real standard? We're back to that concept that we were talking about.
Oh, that's good. No, that's bad. No, that's good.
Yeah. Well, if you go by biblical terms, none of us are good.
That's right.
The heart is evil continuously.
And there is in that word an element of useful. Whatsoever things are useful. There are a lot of things that we would say, oh, this is good. No, it's useless.
And in the definition, it's they use the word benevolent, and it says active goodness. But it also says, like with one of the other ones we were talking about, this is a disposition and character. It's not like I did a good thing today, or I was good because I didn't bother my mom for half an hour. It's who you are. This is part of you, is the goodness. The God standard.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I always wondered about that because you don't have any. So
yeah, it's fleeting.
Yes,
the goodness of mine.
What about?
That's why we're calling out to it. Please come back.
What about faithfulness? We, you know, you say faithful. The first thing I think modern English speakers would come to is the example of a dog. My faithful dog. He's there every day when I come home, waiting for me.
Fido.
Faithfulness reminded me of a different kind of dog.
I'm going to brag on myself a little bit because I think I have a lot of faith.
You might as well, because nobody else will.
No. People that I have known have done me dirty, completely just awful. And you go back and you try to work it out. And you do it over and over and over again.
Seven
no matter
times
how
seven.
Bad it gets, you just keep going back.
I think you actually just nailed the truth of faithfulness, because the faithfulness means to do, as I see it, it means to do the right thing. It means to love. It means to do justice. No matter what you think the outcome is going to be, you're putting it in God's hand. God, this doesn't make sense. I don't understand why I should act this way. This isn't what I want to do. This isn't the way I think would serve me best, but this is what you've told me to do. And then it's putting it in his hands and say, the outcome is your problem. And I think that's faithfulness.
Right. And typically, if you keep going back, this isn't every time, if you keep going back the way that you should, typically it works out for the best.
Yeah. You're not giving this person opportunity after opportunity to smash you, because that's not kindness. It's not kind to allow him to fall into sin.
Right.
And I ran into that problem with my father. At one point, I had to just draw a line and say, you're not going to be a part of my family anymore, because I'm not going to allow you to keep doing damage to them and to yourself. It's just not going to happen anymore. And to me, that was an act of faithfulness. It was also an act of, the next one is gentleness, which could be meekness. And you touched on it earlier, Joe, when you talked about gentleness or meekness. Literally, it means power with restraint.
Right.
But meekness now means you're just supposed to be a doormat.
Well, gentleness and meekness both, to me, I hate using this word now, even though it's perfectly good. It triggers something in me because I see it in the feminist movement. I want a gentle man. I want my husband to be gentle with me. okay, yes, maybe with you and with the kids.
Until
but if
a bear comes
along. A burglar comes through the door. I don't want him to be gentle anymore. But that's what meekness is. He has this power within him to protect, and yet he doesn't use it on you and the kids. But I think what most people want is everybody to just be nice and just be good and just be gentle. No hitting.
Right.
Okay, what if he just walked up and hit me? I'm going to hit him back. Sorry, because I'm a toddler and that's what I do. But gentleness doesn't always just mean like a perpetual state of non-confrontation. And I think that's what a lot of people mean when they use it now.
Yeah.
Right. And my little note says, a balance born in strength of character. So again, that's this, your inner self is strong. So because you're strong, you're able to just wait and hold that until the proper moment to use it.
You consider the source. You're not going to be quick to anger.
Right. And this is
goes back to long suffering.
This is one of those that Aristotle talks about with the golden mean, is that, the gentleness is in the middle of the line, and the one end is the groveling dog, and the other one is the one who goes around pounding his chest like a gorilla, and then in the center is the one, the person who uses their strength when it's necessary, and then can, you know, cut it off and just be
the sleeping lion.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why the jackals are, what is that? Ooh. What is that? What is that? What is that guy's name? You always do an impression of him.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there's a lion. And the jackals, they come around, see?
Christopher Walken.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite speeches ever in anything, because it's just this lion just sitting there. You can visualize it, and the jackals are coming, and even the female lions are messing with him, and then he wakes up one day and destroys everything in his path.
That picture of the female lion's going, aren't you going to do something? Oh, crap.
That's not what I meant.
I know. That wasn't very gentle.
To introduce the last one, I was going to tell a very brief story. I have a friend who has four daughters, and the older daughters were explaining, I think it was a Candyland board game.
Yes.
The elements on the board to the youngest daughter and saying, okay, what's this? What's this? What's this? And they came to the troll underneath the bridge, and they said, what's this? And the little girl sat there for a minute. She said, that's Selfkin. What? That's Selfkin. Self-control. That just kills me.
Oh, yeah. It
doesn't tell us what it means, though.
Homeschoolers.
But self-control
is so last century.
This reminds me of how many times I was at a party or something like that, and somebody would hand me a drink or try to get me to partake of some other substances or whatever, and I would say, no, thank you. Oh my gosh, you're such a prude. Live a little. I plan to live for a long time. That's why I don't want to do that. But when I had the self-control to put myself in those situations and then not partake of absolutely everything that was happening, I was viewed as a prude or as an uptight person or something like that. And people to this day think, oh my gosh, you're such a control freak. You need to just like let go and live a little. No, I don't want to.
The more you let go, the harder it is to get it back in control. Yeah.
It's not all it's made up to be. Because no. I like when people say, have lost mind. Control and did so for many years. But
self-control being very closely related to meekness, which is power with restraint.
Right.
What you were actually showing was that you didn't have the intestinal fortitude, if you would, or the internal power to resist such a thing.
It was more of a, I don't really care. Kind of thing.
Oh, we can call it that if you.
I think
you
it was
better.
A pretty blatant choice. Yes, please.
Just as long as we never lie to ourselves, because that's not kind either.
No. And hopefully it's not tedious to anybody that I always bring it back to parenting, because that's where I'm at in life. But when I talk to my oldest, especially because he's at a higher reasoning level, we talk about self-control in terms of you can't control anyone or anything around you. The only thing for which you are completely responsible is yourself. So self-control is important, because if you focus on that, then you stop trying to control this person and that person or the events or whatever else, or the weather.
From a parent's perspective, I wholeheartedly agree. This last week, I spent a lot of time just sitting there watching my family, all 16 or 18 of you, or how many there are.
That's a lot.
And thinking, if I could change this person, I would make this person be this way. I would have this person be this way. I never expected this person to do this. One of my sons is giving tattoos to everybody else, and I think taboos.
Tattoo the taboo.
I think taboos are...
He tapped who?
I think tattoos are stupid. But I don't get to enforce my values any more than I've already been able to try. I mean, we all got to try to do that and say, this is what I think is important.
Just to be clear, none of the children got tattoos.
Only with a Sharpie.
With a Sharpie, yes. Yeah. No permanent tattoos.
He meant his children. Okay.
But I wonder, even that, I wonder, does this encourage the idea of, ooh, I like this? Because I noticed like one of them was running around with the snake all up his arm, and he was showing it to everybody and all proud of it. And we kind of feed that, you know, from my perspective, I wouldn't do it because that's not what I've encouraged. But I don't get to make choices for all of you. And I'm not the one who has to stand before God and answer for the choices that you've made. And so part of that self-control is realizing just what you were trying to teach your eldest, is that I'm the only one that I can really control, and I'm also the one I am least likely to try to control.
Yes.
And there's a lesson.
And just starting with controlling your mouth. Look at all the scriptures just in Proverbs about who can tame the tongue.
Well, and James says the perfect man is the one who can control his tongue. So, and we all know that no one's perfect, and no one can control their tongue.
I have absolutely no control over my tongue.
Yes, you do.
I bite myself at times. I shouldn't. I shouldn't. And then whenever I take my hand out of my mouth, outflow the words that I shouldn't
say. It was
just
a finger in the dam holding it back. Yeah.
Building up pressure so that it had its full effect. One of my favorite books of all time, and it's not because I enjoy it, but because I need it, is James Allen's As a Man Thinketh. And if you are out there and you're a man and you want to understand what it means to be a man in the biblical sense, James Allen nailed it. There are about 7 short chapters. It's a very short book. I've been working on it for 30-some years and barely scratched the surface.
Well, not the first time through, right?
Okay, good night.
Lord, that's enough for today.
How about this? This is kind of a little bit different story, but it's the same thing we're talking about, and it's very 105, 106 years ago, one of the first... I guess he was the first Native American Major League Baseball player, made it into the bigs. And one of the things that the people of Cleveland did was name their team the Indians in honor of this guy. At the same time, the Washington football team can no longer be called the Redskins. And this all because of their made-up idea. One of the guys that I work with on occasion, Native American, great guy. We always call each other cuz. And he has an old Washington Redskins hat. And I said to him one day, I said, don't you know you're supposed to be offended by that? And he kind of laughs it off, you know. But it's gotten to the point of ridiculousness. I'm waiting for somebody to come out and say, wait a minute, we've been looking at all the professional team mascots, and the Native Americans are underrepresented.
Yes.
And the Dolphins.
Oh, they got more than enough notoriety.
Yeah. They didn't just go away.
They called him Flipper. Flipper. He had his own show.
But that's more of the same kind of thinking, where we don't have this. This kind of ties it all up in my mind. We don't have a common standard anymore. It's whoever is loudest and most obnoxious and frankly the least kind is the person who gets to have their way by pushing their ideas and then squelching and silencing everyone else who might offer another opinion, especially if that opinion is based on scripture.